ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
When faced with a big task, how many of us have said, it can't be that hard, it's not brain surgery? Well, today, on this edition of UWM Today, our topic is brain surgery. It's a story of a fascinating collaboration between surgeons and scientists at the Medical College of Wisconsin and employees at UW-Milwaukee's App Brewery. The two teams worked to develop an app that is used to monitor a patient's brain activity during surgery. Joining us in the studio are Dr. Dave Sabcevitz, Associate Professor in the Neuropsychology Department at the Medical College, and Dustin Hahn, the Project Manager for UWM's App Brewery. Dustin probably never imagined his work and the work of his team would someday be used in operating rooms around the country. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you on today's program. And Dave, we want to begin with you to frame the question here. What was the problem that you came to UWM to try to solve?
Well, first, thanks for having me. So brain surgery is used to treat a variety of conditions. And in some situations, patients are woken up during the actual surgical procedure to allow the team to monitor their brain function. So this applies specifically to brain tumor surgery and some cases of epilepsy. Tumors can be all over the brain, and if it's near a location of the brain that there are critical functions like controls our ability to move or other sensory processes or higher level thinking, you have to be really careful not to take those parts of the brain out. Up until recently, we've been very limited in how we test brain functions in the operating room. You know, we'd bring up flashcards with pictures or just casually talk to the patient. And what we've realized through our experience is that in a number of cases, it's overly simplistic and insufficient to map brain functions.
So you literally were coming in with drawings or pictures that were used to provide some sort of prompt a response.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, showing pictures, having the patient talk works when you're in certain parts of the brain, but, surgery is dynamic. We're throwing curveballs, we're moving around in the brain during the surgery, and we have to be very flexible in how we test brain functions.
So that led to the idea of coming up with a bigger library of images or prompts for people to respond to.
Yeah, I remember, being in a case with our neurosurgeon, and it was a complex case, and there were parts of the surgery where I remember thinking to myself, wow, I really wish I was able to test this function, or I wish I had, this type of stimuli with me. But again, it's what you bring in the operating room, and you don't have a lot of room to do this stuff in the operating room. And it was after that experience I went down to my office and started sketching things out, my ideas, putting them down on paper, that kind of led to me reaching out to the UWM App Brewery to talk about this.
And that brings in Dustin and his team of students at the App Brewery. What did you think when you were first approached by the folks at the medical college that brain surgery might be one of your next assignments, so to speak?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Tom. When David contacted me and he said, hey, I've got this idea for an app that we're going to use in an actual brain surgery, the first thing I thought was, I don't think we can do this. But then as we developed sort of the relationship and started breaking things down into smaller chunks and pieces and did a technical feasibility study on it, I realized, wow, this is possible. We could do this and we could use this from this other project. And, we could really challenge the staff and the students at the brewery to kind of go outside of their comfort zone, because I know I was and I still am on this project outside of the comfort zone. But it's showing that it's showing promise and it's working and it's saving lives. And I think that's what not only the brewery but the students are getting back out of this project.
We should give our listeners just a little more background about the App Brewery. It's been around for several years and it really does give what students real world experience with something we all carry around on our phones, these amazing apps.
Right. We develop so our students develop mobile applications for both iOS and Android, and they do it for a host of partners. Some of our partners include the Milwaukee Public Museum, our very own UWM mobile app, a number of medical college apps used for research, and then we also support our faculty on campus as well.
So it's not just for downloading the latest story from CNN.
No, it's not.
Okay, so you made that connection, David, with the UWM brewery, the app brewery that builds these sort of things. Talk about the early stages of those discussions. How did you communicate your need to the group of students who are working in the internet world?
Yeah, it was challenging at first. You know, I don't speak their lingo, and they don't speak my lingo. And I remember my first meeting with Dustin. We're sitting in my office looking at each other, and I'm telling Dustin about, you know, wouldn't this be really cool if we can do this and this in the operating room? And, can we do this? And we just looked at each other and kind of said, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like, you know, a lot more challenging than the typical stuff that we do. So, it started with a lot of questions. And as Dustin was saying, you know, it was trial and error and working through logistics. And it was, a project of evolution. I mean, it just kept growing and growing. And every time I went in the operating room to do a case, I'd bring in whatever version I had and I'd learn from that. And I'd come back and I'd meet with Dustin and his team. And I'd say, hey, can we do this now? Can we do that now? And, you know, he'd give me that look. but, you know, they came through. I mean, project kept advancing and growing and developing until our final product that we have now.
And of course, one of the other parties that has to be on board here are the surgeons themselves. Yeah. How did they react to the idea of creating this new tool?
Yeah, I have I'm very fortunate to work with the neurosurgeon that I work with, Dr. Mueller. He's been doing this for a long time. We work in a team with a bunch of, very sophisticated, practitioners that, know a lot even outside of their area about cognition and radiology and neurosurgery. So, we work really well together. And, Dr. Mueller is very receptive to this idea. You know, I approached him and I said, here's what we're doing now for mapping. This is where I'd like to see it go. And he saw the value in that immediately.
Because he saw the limitations of just using essentially flashcards.
Yeah. I mean, there are limitations on several levels that he noticed. I mean, one was efficiency in the OR. You know, you don't want that patient to be on the operating table any longer than you have to. And the stuff that we were doing together, Dustin and I, translated to improved efficiency in the OR. You know, we could test more functions and do it quicker than we were able to do prior to that. So that's very appealing to the neurosurgeon. The other thing is that we're getting more sophisticated and rich data and information in the OR that, we give to the neurosurgeon to make surgical decisions. And that was, another thing that our neurosurgeon was quite interested and receptive to receiving.
So let's paint a picture for our listeners of what might be happening in that operating room when you've got a patient that you're trying to draw information out of. I mean, someone's operating on their brain and you're asking them questions. Specifically, what sort of information are you looking for from these patients?
So this process actually starts before they even get to the operating room. You know, at Frater and the Medical College, we have a lot of different methods for localizing brain function. So, our brain tumor patients go through extensive testing before they even get into the OR. And that includes advanced neuroimaging. You know, we have neuroimaging techniques that allow us to map out the communication highways in the brain. It's called diffusion tensor imaging. We have imaging that allows us to actually look at the functioning of the brain while someone's inside a scanner, and that's called functional magnetic resonance imaging. So they go through all this testing, and we meet as a group, and we form hypotheses as to what we want to be looking at and what's at risk when they go into the operating room. Patient then goes into the operating room, and the way the procedure unfolds is, we do a craniotomy, so we remove the bone, creating an exposure to the brain. The patient's given local anesthetic, so they don't feel pain as we do that. And there's no pain receptors in the brain, so they don't feel pain during the surgery. And we keep the patient awake, and while the patient's awake, the surgeon has a tool that emits an electrical current. So what the surgeon is doing is touching different areas of the brain and stimulating electrically that part of the brain. And that current temporarily shuts down or disrupts the ability of that tissue to function until that stimulator is turned off. So you're creating almost a temporary lesion. You're simulating what would the effects of surgery be by stimulating that part of the brain. So while the surgeon is doing that testing, that stimulating, I'm doing the testing. I'm showing the patient pictures. I'm asking them questions, and testing all sorts of different functions.
Are you asking questions that relate to their memory, something that they may have seen or witnessed before, or their ability to process or solve problems?
Yeah. I mean, the brain is a very complex organ with lots of different functions. What complicates it even further is that no two brains are exactly alike. You know, so it's so important to be very individualized as you map a brain. So to answer your question, it depends on where you're operating. It depends where, let's say, that brain tumor is or where that epilepsy surgery is planned. So if you're in areas of the brain where there's lots of language functions, we're focusing on language. If you're in an area of the brain where, you know, plays an important role in memory, we're focusing on memory. And in a lot of cases, you know, you can have surgeries that might involve multiple functions. And that's where we saw the need for the Neuromapper project, is that we didn't have the ability to be flexible in the OR to, you know, have a, you know, a wide range of tasks or mapping paradigms available up until we developed this app.
So Dustin, David, and the other neuropsychologists and surgeons present this problem to the UWM students mm-hmm. who are building these apps for the iPad. What was your first reaction to the challenge that you know, we're gonna create a new tool that's gonna be used in the surgical operating or surgical suites?
Yeah. So our first, you know, as I said before, we kind of had to break it down into smaller chunks to make it a little bit more palatable. And one of the biggest hurdles is, as David mentioned before, was, you know, we don't speak medical, and David somewhat spoke a little bit of computer science. So we had to kind of extrapolate all of those requirements and how are these things working today, and then how can we make it so it's not invasive and it's widely accepted by the team. So we really just broke it down into smaller things. We knew that we needed to present something on the iPad visually. So that was kind of our first task. Can we display something that an image that's stored in the cloud in a secured location, and can we display that and pull that down onto a device? And then we just sort of, we'd present it to David in a week or so, and he'd be like, okay, yeah, I like that. That's cool. And then let's do this. And how does this work? And how can we get this to work? So it really became this iterative process. So we pulled down things like simple stuff, like pulling down images, displaying on an iPad, and then moving it to the next image. And then we started doing a little bit more complex things, like being able to recognize visually, you know, dots in a specific location on an iPad, right? Lower left corner, middle right. So the patient can actually inform David and his colleagues as to, you know, where are they seeing these things for visual tests. And we did auditory tests and things like that. If they hear something, they have to repeat it. So we really just broke those things down. And I, you know, the relationship was that David would, we'd do something and David would be like, you know, we'd get some, I don't think that's really going to work, or it's not going to work because of this. So we had to really sort of be challenged on the medical side of things, not only just presenting a project to him.
So were you actually creating the images or the sounds yourself in cooperation with David and his team? Or is there a toolbox somewhere that you could go and get these images or these sounds to put onto the app itself?
Yeah, so a lot of the stimuli that we used to test different functions comes from, you know, decades of research out of the medical college. So, you know, we have a language imaging laboratory that's done extensive work on mapping the brain and language, and you know, I was fortunate to be able to use a lot of that work in the app. So we had to create some stimuli. We were able to use stimuli that has you know, a really good track record that's been used in different clinical samples and research. For me and our experience, you know, I think, you know, presenting images and presenting sounds was sort of the easy part for these guys. But it kept getting more and more complex because we wanted to take this to a whole new level in the operating room. You know, sure, anybody can show a picture, right? But we wanted to do things like, okay, we want the app to be able to measure what a patient can do before they go to surgery so that when they're in surgery, we can use items that we know they can do, for example. Another thing that I asked the app brew to do, and I got that look again, like, really? You know, can we do this? I wanted the app to listen to the patient and measure how quickly they can respond to stimuli. You know, because a lot of patients after surgery complain, yeah, you know, it just takes me longer to come up with words. And that got me thinking that could be important information we want to monitor in real time during surgery. So, you know, I'd bring that to the app brewery and Dustin and I would get together and I'd say, can you do this? Can you do this? And, you know, they came through.
What, did you ever have a problem like this before that you had to solve, Dustin? Was this unique?
This project by far has been one of the most challenging, I think, not only from the idea of, you know, we're pioneering or we're helping the medical college pioneer into new unknown territory, but just the complexity of it. You know, if the app were in some way, shape, or form, something were to go wrong, you know, we wanted to make sure that everything was bug-free and as fail-proof as possible. So it put the students up on a higher level of their game.
Well, and as I said at the beginning of the program, it is brain surgery. I mean, you're dealing with a program that that is ultimately going to help impact the direction that surgery goes, mm-hmm. the treatment follows. You want to make sure that you have something that is going to be working because somebody's on the operating table.
Right.
Kind of daunting for the students, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the outcome was for the students. So, you know, I still remember when Dr. Sabs was saying, okay, we're going to our first case. And he had, you know, obviously he had backup plans. But I remember the night before, I don't think I got much sleep. You know, it's like, oh, this thing's going, you know, this is it. This is, you know, the first time. And it was very rewarding to hear that phone call from David calling me as they got out of the case. And, you know, he's like, okay, you know, there's some things we need to sort of tweak, but it worked overall. It worked well. And you know, we've got a, what about this and what about that? And it started more rather than we've got this problem to fix and we've got this problem to fix. And I had to go to plan B. And, you know, so that was rewarding for me, but it was also rewarding for the students to know that, wow, this is going to have a major outcome in the industry.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio are Dustin Hahn, who is the lead supervisor at UWM's App Brewery, a terrific place that allows students to learn how to build apps for our iPads and our phones. And next to him, we've got Dr. David Sapsovitz, an associate professor in the neuropsychology department at the Medical College of Wisconsin. We're talking about the development, really a partnership that developed an app that's used in brain surgery that didn't exist before. David, you now have taken this amazing app that has been created here in Milwaukee, and you've taken it on the road. It's gone national. Tell us about how this tool may be used far beyond our city.
Well, I think we knew we were onto something pretty early on in this process. When I first started meeting with the App Brewery and Dustin, it was right around the time of one of our big national conferences in our field. And I invited a bunch of practitioners across the country to get together and kind of hear what we were thinking, hear what we wanted to do, and get their feedback. And, you know, the level of interest and excitement we got just from that conversation was a good indicator that this was going to be well received. So, you know, we started obviously using it locally at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You know, now I think we've used it in 35 to 40 surgical cases. And you know, since we've been, you know, using it locally, we've also been beta testing it around the country. So we have four different major sites now that are beta testing. And, you know, last time I looked, we have about 30 different hospitals that are interested in actually incorporating it into their operating room. So, you know, I've been fortunate to be able to travel across the country and go to, you know, some of the top centers in brain tumor and epilepsy and be able to present our work. And it's been very well received. Yeah, it's been very rewarding to be able to do that.
Do you see the need for fine-tuning this app or perhaps creating other tools that come out of the App Brewery or other parts of our computer departments that that create the applications that are essentially allowing us to take a greater advantage of the amazing power of the web?
I think what makes this app and this project special is the ability for it to evolve over time. So I never looked at this project as a static project, that we're going to finish it and that was going to be it. So this project really has two arms to it. There's the clinical arm where we're developing the app to be used in the surgery, but then there's this research arm where we're contacting different institutions across the country to be involved in this process. And those academic centers that do high volume and that are interested will join this research consortium. And we're going to try to answer a lot of questions that we just don't have answers to that will affect surgical outcomes, that will improve our understanding of the brain. And we want to use Neuromapper in this app as a big part of that. So I see this project as evolving over time. We're gonna learn from its use. We're gonna develop new paradigms that are better than what we have right now, based on our experience and other institutions' experience in the operating room. And in the end, we're gonna have a product and an app that will hopefully translate to much better surgical outcomes, because it's the collective wisdom of everybody using it that'll help this project continue to evolve over time.
So the data that's being captured during these surgeries, at the end of the day, not only you but other scientists around the country will be able to do some comparisons.
Yeah, so once we get these different research projects up and running, that'll be the idea, is that there'll be a lot of communication between institutions, and we can look at our data collectively and learn from that and evolve the project.
Dustin, apps have been around for a while. Again, I mentioned my silly example of CNN, right? I can't live without my CNN app on my phone. Or Uber, right? Now that's amazing too, right? How does that car know that here's where I'm standing? How do you think technology on the app side is going to evolve that might make for an even more productive partnership with people like David and the other folks working in neuropsychology, neurosurgery?
I think Tom, there's a huge market in that. Anytime that you can capture some information, whether it be real time in an OR suite or just sitting bedside with a patient, and if you can capture that information and then use it later on as a reference to help guide, as David said, better outcomes for patients and people, because we're all people. Patients are people too. And if you can capture that information and then you can ensure that there's going to be better outcomes for in the future, that's the way to go. Right now, appropriately, medicine is it's a personalized thing. But if we can use collaborations with large centers or just start bringing that information about certain illnesses together and sort of mine that data and mine that information for the betterment of society, all the better. And technology is always, people are always pushing the envelope in technology, and especially in mobile apps.
David, what about the patients? Are they experiencing anything different? Have they responded to this technology? Or is it been immaterial whether or not the images are on a paper card or on an iPad?
No, it's far more complex than just showing pictures. We have auditory stimuli, visual stimuli, complex tasks that we're doing. And again, the app is recording lots of data that we use in surgical decision making. The patients have, really received it well. I think it serves a few purposes. One, as we're doing the surgery, it increases our confidence in what we're doing in the operating room, and it allows us to potentially be a little more aggressive in our surgeries than in the past. And again, that hopefully translates to better outcome. It keeps the patients distracted. Being in brain surgery, it can be very stressful. So, when you have an interactive system in front of you, a testing system, my experience has been that it takes their mind a little bit off of what's going on in the operating room. They're focused on the task at hand, and they're very motivated to preserve their functioning. So I think it serves, those purposes in the operating room, and patients have, done very well with it.
Any of them ever ask if they could watch something on YouTube?
I've had patients ask a lot of interesting questions about it.
Man, I would be wanting to have anything to distract me if my brain is open. Yeah. And to that point, when you have the iPad in front of them, are they actually doing anything with their fingers to manipulate, or are you controlling whatever images or sounds appear on the screen?
So the app has the ability to do tasks that do involve the patient to interact with the iPad, and we have paradigms and tasks where they don't have to interact with the paradigm by touching, and it's more by talking and making other responses. So, it depends again on the case and kind of what we're mapping.
Dustin, the students themselves, do they envision themselves perhaps taking another bend in the road of their careers, perhaps doing more of this sort of work related to the medical field than what they might have imagined when they first came to the university?
I think it's opened up their eyes that this whole other vertical, this whole other market is available. It's not, you know, we love our partners at Johnson Controls and Rockwell and, you know, more machine automation, but I think they're realizing that there's an opportunity in the medical space, whether it be just data collection, whether it be presentation of information, or just the how a hospital or how a medical setting operates. So I think there is sort of a move towards, you know, software engineering, biomedical engineering, things like that, where they never thought of it before. They didn't have that exposure.
And a lot of these students, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, I mean, very, very young, yeah. young people who are now working on something you really know, big.
I'll tell you what stands out for me in this experience working with UW, the app brewery. You know, I bidded this project out with a few different programmers. I went with the app brewery because, you know, again, they have a certain level of experience I didn't see in some of the other people, and their ability to learn was incredible. We had a number of situations through this process of building this app where they came back. I proposed, you know, we had a problem. I proposed a solution. They came back with additional solutions that I didn't even think of. And they're like, hey, you know, what do you think of this? And I'm looking at them like, wow. That's great. You know, this is really great. You know, so they learn so quickly, you know, sort of the ins and outs of kind of what I do in the operating room, and they translated that into their work, and we're coming up with solutions that I didn't even think about with certain aspects of the app. And that was a really cool process to see.
Fresh set of eyes, right? No bias. They walk in and don't know enough to say, I shouldn't know that.
And it's also, you know, again, their ability to kind of learn quickly. You know, I mean, learning what I do in the operating room is probably pretty far removed from anything they've ever learned in the past. And they picked up on it very quickly. And just their ability to problem solve and think outside the box was very refreshing.
Dustin, have you been in the operating room yet to see this work in person?
I haven't.
Any desire?
I've seen pictures. No,
I've
not.
Offered many times.
Probably not.
Because I'd like to see it. It sounds really cool.
I've seen
not on my brain, but
I've seen some still imagery of David and the patients gowned up and things like that. And it's like that's as far as I need to go, as far as I need to take it. So we'll stay on the computer science side of the fence.
And you're okay with that, David?
I am, yeah. I think they've learned so much without even stepping into the operating room.
Of course, yeah. David, you don't have to gown up if you come over to the app brewery. They do, right?
I do not. That's correct, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, fascinating, fascinating story. Thanks so much for sharing this great collaboration between the Medical College of Wisconsin and UW-Milwaukee, a great, great example of two wonderful institutions working hand in hand. And the winners at the end of the day, the public, the people who benefit from what comes out of the app brewery and out of the labs and surgical suites at the medical college. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dustin Hahn, project manager for UWM's app brewery, and Dr. David Sapsovitz, associate professor in neuropsychology at the medical college, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.